My guest at this time is one of the true legends in Chillicothe football history. All-state defensive back, honorable mention all-state running back, member of the Nebraska Cornhuskers, brief member of the Washington Redskins, and most importantly, a member of the 1970 Show Me Bowl champions, Mr. Ardell Johnson. Ardell, thank you for visiting with us. It's got to be fun to get back. I know you live in California. You don't get a chance to get back here very often. Are you having a good visit here so far?
I am, thank you. It's a pleasure to be back. I got a chance to visit with Coach Phil Willard and some of his players yesterday, and that was a lot of fun.
In your playing days, in your high school days, you were kind of a do-everything sort of a guy. Obviously a great running back. You could catch passes out of the backfield. You were a great return man. Obviously a great defensive back. Did you ever actually come off the field in your playing days?
Well, I did quite a bit, actually. Fortunately, we were able to get some leads and hang on to them. And when we did that, Coach Fairchild was usually pretty good about substituting on some of the special teams.
One of the legends of you was your legendary speed. How fast were you?
Well, I don't know how fast I was in high school, but in college I ran a 4.35 40. Of course, you know, that's a couple of years down the road, and you develop a little maturity, a little more muscle mass, and you learn a little better technique.
I think that's one of the misunderstandings in football, that it's not just speed that makes a good football player.
Oh, no, not at all. It takes, what you hear sometimes in baseball, they'll talk about a three-tool guy or a four-tool guy. Football's the same way. I mean, you have to have the intellect to understand what it is you're supposed to do and the ability to do it.
Do you feel that was one of the things that helped you in your football career, was your academics and your intelligence?
Well, I'm loathe to refer to myself as intelligent, and a lot of people might disagree with you on that score, but you did have to understand what it was that you were supposed to do. You had to understand the plays and had to understand the reads as they came at you on defense and offense and be able to react to those.
Did you have a preference? Did you enjoy playing offense or defense more? Did it really matter to you?
In high school, I liked offense, but I also liked defense. And then when I got to college, defense, it really was driven home to me that defense was the place to be.
You grew up here in Chillicothe in what was truly one of the great eras of football. Your team, you were a two-year starter. The teams went 20-0 your 2 years. And prior to that, your sophomore year, they were, I think, 8-0-1. And when you were in middle school, you got to watch the great Butch Davis and all of those guys crank out the great seasons. What was the atmosphere like in town and on game night growing up in that kind of dominant winning type of football?
Well, we did follow a long tradition, and I'm probably not the best one to comment on game night, because come game time, we were so focused on what it was we were supposed to do and that in the game that, you know, you pretty much block everything else out. The one thing I do remember was the night we played Kansas City Central. They brought a couple of busloads of students down from the game, and they had drums in the stands, and the drums were just going all game long. It was a very, very electric atmosphere.
Let's talk about the sport of football then versus now. Now, high school football, almost a year-round sport. They're always lifting. There's off-season camps, jamborees, 7-on-7 summer leagues. What kind of off-season work did Coach Fairchild expect out of you all, or was there an off-season work program then?
We didn't really have an off-season work program. After football season, a lot of the guys on the team played basketball or wrestled or did other activities. Some ran track, some played tennis. To the extent that we did anything in the off-season, it was pretty much on a get-together with your buddies and go lift or go run or, you know, meet out at the stadium and maybe catch passes.
Let's talk about Coach Fairchild a little bit. There's a lot of theories and a lot of opinions on what made him such a successful and a great coach. From a player standpoint, what do you feel that he did, or what did he bring to the game that made him such a great coach?
Well, he had a couple of things that, looking back, I recognize, which, you know, I don't think I probably recognized at the time. But one of the things that he had was just the ability to put the right people in the right spots. No matter what you thought your abilities were, he had the ability to see that maybe you belonged in slot A instead of slot B, and he would put you there for the betterment of the team. And so that, I think, was a very, very strong skill. The other thing that, you know, I marvel at today, having raised two teenagers and working on my third, is he had the ability to motivate boys to do what they needed to do to be successful. And that, as anybody who has teenagers or who has raised teenagers know, is no easy task. And above all else, I would say that was his primary talent.
Your senior class was one of the great class of athletes here in Chillicothe. I'm just going to toss out a couple of names of guys you played with and kind of give us a sense of what they brought to the game, what they were like being around. And let's start with the quarterback, still holds a lot of passing records, Brent Anderson.
Ace. We called him Ace. And it was a perfect name for the guy. He was cool. He was in command, and nobody ever doubted that. He was cocky, but not offensive about it. You know, he just he knew how to run a football team. I don't know if a lot of people knew this, but Brent called almost all of his own plays. And oftentimes, we'd get in a situation where he'd call the same play time after time after time. I'm thinking about a particular series against St. Joe Lafayette where we ran a play up the middle called 22 Power. They had a big middle linebacker who was supposed to be a hot shot. And the third time we ran the play, it went for, this is a play that's supposed to go for 3 yards, 4 yards. Mm-hmm. Third time we ran the play, it goes the distance. And that linebacker, I remember stepping over him. He had just dug his head into the ground because he was tired of getting blown up. And Brent had a way of seeing those things and picking those things out and exploiting them that really was remarkable.
Another one was a great linebacker, went to Notre Dame, Sherm Smith.
Sherm was one of the quietest athletes that I've ever been around. And our whole team kind of had that persona. I remember Coach Fairchild's being asked by Chuck Haney of the Constitution Tribune before a game, well, you know, is the team ready? And he'd say, well, you know, these guys you never know because they, you know, they're not real gung-ho, they're not rah-rah. And, you know, that was Sherm. He was just a quiet, efficient guy. But, oh, boy, what an athlete, what a tackler.
Sort of a lunch pail guy, bring a lunch pail and he's ready to go to work.
Yep.
Who were some of the others? Everyone remembers Brent and Sherm and obviously you. Who were some of the others on the team that were outstanding that maybe didn't get the recognition that they deserved at the time?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question because I think that this guy may be one of the two or three best athletes ever to come out of the school, Mike Fair. Mike was a tackle, and he played defensive end. As you know, he went on to University of Missouri and played there. I had the pleasure watching Mike on film blow up one of my teammates. And this is a guy who went on to play professional football for 11 years. And Mike just had his way with him the entire game. And that was typical of the way that Mike played the game of football in Chillicothe as well. I mean, he did whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted it on the football field. He was that good. Not only that, you know, the guy wrestled heavyweight, won every match. He became a legend wrestler because, you know, we'd all show up to watch him wrestle, and he would toy with his opponents a lot like a cat would play with a mouse before he pinned him. And that, you know, we just love that. And then consider that the guy was a high hurdles champion.
You know, you don't see too many heavyweight wrestlers as high hurdle champions.
You don't. I mean, but that just really emphasizes how good of an athlete he was. And, you know, to top it off, the guy played French horn in the band, and you know, he was a very, very smart, young man as well.
You graduate from high school, you go to Nebraska. I think what a lot of people may not know, you didn't necessarily go to Nebraska on a football scholarship. Explain why you chose to go to Nebraska.
Well, I was interested in architecture. And there were three schools in the Big Eight that had architecture programs that allowed you to go on a in-state tuition basis. And Nebraska was the one that I felt most fit where I wanted to be. And I had in the back of my mind that I wanted to maybe give a shot at the football team.
Was there a turning point for you or a certain play or a certain time that the coaches kind of go, hey, let's keep an eye on that Johnson fella. He might be pretty good.
Well, we had, as freshmen, they would move you around a lot. And, you know, they would move you from offense to defense and try to figure out, you know, like Coach Fairchild did, how best to deploy their people. And I think probably when they got around to timing 40s and got a sense of how fast I was where they decided they wanted to put me on the defensive side.
Because you played for two of the all-time great college head football coaches.
Yes, Bob Devaney and Tom Osborne. What a thrill that was to play for both of those men.
Someone compiled, I don't know if you are aware of this, compiled your records from one-loss records from junior high through college. And it came up to your record in games you played in was 69-7-3. Was there a point that you just not accepted but just had a confidence that you knew when you were on the field your team had a pretty good chance of winning?
Well, interesting question. I think every time we took the field with the teams I played with, we felt like we had a good shot at winning, much less so in high school. Because, you know, in high school, things change so dramatically from season to season. You lose seniors, and then you have sophomores coming in, you know, who are not fully developed. You have juniors who've grown over the summer. You have seniors who've grown over the summer. You know, some people come in out of shape. So you just don't know what you're going to get. And, you know, with our high school senior team, we came in, we returned only four starters. So it was really uncertain. I mean, we didn't know from game to game. Not only that, that year we'd switched to a new conference, and we were playing much bigger schools. So, you know, every night was a new adventure.
Effie, you graduated college, and tell us what it was like when you found out that your name had been called in the NFL draft. What was that like as a kid who grew up looking at the high school football stadium, watching the greats play, and then realizing that you have a shot?
Oh, it's kind of surreal. You're sitting there and you're listening, and you see, you know, the Washington Redskins called my name, albeit way down in the draft. I think I was their seventh overall pick or something like that. George Allen was not a big fan of drafting rookies. He liked the veterans. In fact, Billy Kilmer was still the quarterback when I was there, and the guy who I was competing with, or would have competed with for a position on the team, was Pat Fisher. Pat Fisher, not coincidentally, was the brother of Cletus Fisher, who was the offensive line coach at the University of Nebraska. And Cletus's son, Pat, also played defensive back for the University of Nebraska. So, you know, that was a real kick.
Tell us about how your football career came to an end. You were drafted by Washington. Did they say, I don't think you have what it takes, or did you realize that maybe this isn't for me? How did that football career come to an end?
It was kind of a combination. Went out to Dickinson College there in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. You know, spent some time there trying to learn the system and work my way in. You know, as I said, the Redskins were deep with veterans. George Allen wasn't particularly a big fan of rookies. And, you know, frankly, I didn't do much to distinguish myself during camp. It was evident to me that the primary difference between me and the people who I was competing with for a job was how badly you wanted it. And, you know, they called me in and told me that they were releasing me. And, you know, at that point, I could have gone to another camp, or I could have, you know, regrouped and tried again next year. And, you know, I weighed all of it together and decided that that wasn't going to be my career path.
So you went back to college, you became an attorney, you've been a practicing lawyer for years. We'll wrap this up. How did what you learned in sports, playing football, playing basketball, how did what you learned in sports translate into successful career after sports?
Discipline. You learn how to practice. You learn how to do what you need to do to prepare yourself to be successful. And you do it. It's kind of trite to say it, but I mean it's an old formula, but it works.
Kids that come up to you and say, you know, gosh, I would love to play football. I want to play high school football. I'd like to play college. What's your advice to them?
Go for it. It's a great game. They'll make lifelong friends. They'll learn life lessons. There's no downside.
Ardell Johnson, truly a pleasure to be able to talk with you, and best of luck. It's been fun.
Thank you.